Let's take our Bibles together tonight to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, together. Only 2 points for our message. We just have a few verses here on our plate as we go verse by verse through this book of the Bible together, letting God speak to us. And this is a great chapter, important chapter of the Christian life. Galatians chapter 5, we'll read verse 16, 17, 18, then we'll pick up verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye're not under the law." Then verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I entitled this God's Answer for the Flesh. Have you ever seen so much flesh? It doesn't even have to be summertime to see all the flesh, does it? Flesh is everywhere. And flesh is not just people showing off their bodies, though that's certainly flesh. You know, even Adam and Eve in the garden had better sense to cover up their bodies. But, you know, flesh is also demonstrated and opened and barren in a lot of other ways. There's a lot of fleshly things about our hearts and our minds. And they are exposed as well so many times in the Christian life. I hope that you understand that when you got saved, your flesh didn't go away. That's why the Bible writes this. When you got saved, you got a brand new nature. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. But the other one didn't disappear. That old man on the outside, you carry him around with you every day. And if you're not careful, he'll defeat you, he'll destroy you. He'll make your life miserable, and he's powerful. But God has a new nature on the inside. The first thing I want to show you tonight is I want to concentrate on verse 16 before we get into the answer. I want you to see the battle first. Some Christians never come to realization that they're in a big fight. They're in a big battle. And I think a lot of times, you know, we blame the devil a lot of times on things that have nothing to do with the devil. Matter of fact, the devil doesn't even have to waste his time on most people because their flesh is doing plenty of good enough job for him. And the battle that we have is shown to us in verse 17. If you'd look at it, Galatians 5, 17, it's your battle, it's mine, but it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter who your mom and dad is. It doesn't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter what your background is or how many times you pray or how much you believe the Scripture. Every one of us are in the same battle, from the pastor to the pew, if you're male or female, young or old. This is a battle in your life. And most people lose. They lose the battle. And he says in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." You know, that's a strange thing to say. If I talked about the lust of the flesh, I wouldn't talk about what the flesh thought about the Spirit. I would talk about what the flesh lusted after that it wanted for itself. Gratification, pleasure, to be seen, to be known. The flesh has a lot of manifestations. But here he doesn't talk about what the flesh lusts after or desires after as far as an evil thing or a wicked thing. But look at your Bible again. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." In other words, the desires of our flesh, every one of us in here tonight, the desires of our flesh are desires that are against the Spirit. In other words, your old man has something against this new man on the inside. It's not that they're just, you know, that's the big catchword in society. They don't coexist very well. The flesh abhors, listen to this, the flesh abhors what the Spirit desires. And it's vice versa. Look at it. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is inside your body. And that spirit lusts against the flesh. It has desires contrary to the flesh. And what the flesh loves, the spirit abhors. And what the spirit desires, the flesh abhors. And so we got this battle, this struggle. Wouldn't it be great if you could wake up every morning and you were right with God? You know, I hate to put this on you, but probably everybody wakes up not right with God. And if you do wake up right with God, odds are you won't get through the day and stay right with God all day. Now, there are some people that think they have that mode of sinless perfection, but you know, the flesh is, a lot of times when we talk about the flesh, we got to define some things. Now, he's going to do that. I don't know how long it's going to take, and we're going to start it tonight. But he goes into all these works of the flesh starting in verse 19. There's a bunch of them. So that you can identify the part of you that you need to fight against. And when he starts talking about those works of the flesh and what that flesh wants to do, of course, in verse 19, he talks about adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness, these sensual sins that we all equate with the flesh. But as he concludes, look at verse 20 at the end of the verse. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Look at 21, envying. So let's be clear. When we're talking about the flesh, we're not just talking about drunks and whoremongers. We're also talking about what is in us that is diametrically opposed to the Spirit of God. And that's a whole lot of things. Because people look at their list of the flesh of someone else and they say, I don't have a problem with that. You got just as big a much problem with your flesh as a drug addict. You really do. We all do. It's a battle. It's a struggle. It's a fight. And that flesh does not want anything to do with the Holy Ghost. And so we don't just go through life right with God. We go through life in a battle. And that's why it's difficult for us to do right. That's why it's difficult for us to stay joyful and happy. That's why it's difficult for us to get along with people. That's why it's difficult for us to witness to people. Your flesh doesn't want to witness. That's why it's difficult for us to pray. The flesh doesn't want to pray. That's why it's difficult to read your Bible. I guarantee you, we got people right here. We're going to pass out again the Bible calendars as we always do. There are people right here. And I said it the other day in a missions conference, and the whole service just about went flat about how many people read their Bible. You know, we talk about wanting to get the Bible to the world, but I mean, if we don't even read our Bible, I mean, that's sort of hypocritical, you know. And I asked how many people read their Bible through all the way one time, and man, it got quiet as a church mouse. But you know what? It's not that, and here's usually the excuse. Well, I don't like to read. You know, anybody got a phone? I don't like to read. No, it's not that you don't like to read. It's that you don't. It's what you don't like to read. I like to read that text I just got, and please send me another. It's not that I don't like to read, and it's not that you don't have time. Oh, I'm just so busy. You know, I tell you what it is. This is what it is. Your flesh doesn't want to have anything to do with the Bible. And it's a struggle. And it's just easier to tell the flesh, okay, I'm not going to fight you. Who likes to fight? I mean, some people like to fight, but you know, most people don't want to fight with anybody. And look, if you don't have some fight in you as a Christian, you're not going to make it. Because you're in a fight. And the devil will fight you, and the world will fight you. But the biggest fight you got is with you. And it's just so much easier to give in. It's like this. You know, we talk about fasting. That's, you talk about a battle. You talk about fighting the flesh. That's what fasting is. You know, you walk by, you see the bag of potato chips. No, I know I shouldn't do that. Not supper time yet, you know. And then that little chip in there is calling your name. But it's not the chip in there, it's your body. You know what you say? Well, okay, if you insist. We do that with food. We do that with pleasure. We do that with what we watch. We do that with what we listen to. We do that with when we want to be angry. We just give in because we don't want to fight me. Oh, you got to fight you. You're in a battle. And that battle is the Spirit of God fighting against this flesh and this flesh fighting against this Spirit. And I ask you a question. Who's going to be your master? Who will have the mastery of you? Who's going to be in control of your life? Is the flesh going to be in control of your life? Or is the Spirit of God going to be in control of your life? What a struggle. Look at the end of verse 17. He said, these are contrary the one to the other. There's a part of you that doesn't want to have anything to do with church. You don't have anything to do with serving other people. Like we preached about in verse 13. There's a part of us that don't want to have anything to do with the Spirit of God. These things are contrary the one to the other. Look at the end of verse 17. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know, the problem is not our intention. The problem is that we don't fight the battle enough for those good intentions that we have to actually become real in our life. God says, I know you want to do some things, but you're never going to do them if you don't fight this battle. Ye cannot do the things that ye would. Hold your finger there, Romans 7. That is the perfect illustration of that. Romans 7 details the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh doesn't want to go to the altar. Why do you think people don't get saved? It's a battle. And they give in to themselves. No, I don't, I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to do that. The flesh doesn't want to stand on a sidewalk and hold a scripture sign. Flesh doesn't want to do that. No, the flesh wants to lash back out and take up for itself and find its own place of comfort or pleasure, whatever that is. And every Christian, no matter where you are, how long you've been saved, you're in the same boat and you'll stay in the same boat. You say, man, I don't want in that boat. The only way out of that boat is the coming of Jesus. The only way out of that boat is for you to die or for the Lord to come and you get a new body and you don't have those desires anymore. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a day it will be when I will have sanctified eyes. And my eyes will never want to look at anything bad the rest of eternity. And I'll have sanctified ears. And my ears won't even want to hear anything bad. And I'll have sanctified hands and sanctified feet. And sanctified thoughts. But that day's coming ahead. Until then, I've got to fight. I got to fight my flesh. And Paul's in that fight. You'd think he wouldn't have that fight. I mean, he wasn't even married. That was the place to laugh, but you didn't even laugh. He didn't even have all those people in his life. You know who Paul fought with? He fought with himself. He fought with himself. Look at it. Romans 7, 15. For that which I do, I allow not. Romans 7, 15. For what I would. Remember what he said? Remember what he said over there? So that you cannot do the things that you would. He said, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I mean, if you ever read Schizophrenia, man, you're reading it right there. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Look at 17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We've gone through this before, but if we went through this 100 times in the Bible, it would never be enough. Paul said, these bad things I'm doing, I'm not doing them. Well, who was it, your neighbor? Yeah, it's called the flesh. He's saying the things that this body's doing, that's not really me. Thank God that's not really me. The real me, if I'm saved, is on the inside. I'm one with Jesus Christ, you see. I'm seated together with Him in heavenly places. My life is hid with Christ in God. And Paul says, those things I'm doing with this flesh, that's not really me. That's that other guy. I told you about the Greek lady after she got saved in our mission trip there. She thought she was going crazy. She heard the lesson on the Holy Spirit and she said, oh, that's what's wrong with me. She said, I thought I was hearing voices. I was going crazy. The things she used to do, now she's convicted about it. Nobody's there, but somebody's there. There's two people there. If you're saved, you're two people. That ought not scare you. That ought to make you say, thank God. I got somebody in me that wants to do right. Now, Lord, I want that part of me to win. He says in verse 18 of Romans 7, for I know that in me that is in my flesh. There you go. You say, well, oh, you're right. You know what's sad? Flesh is flesh. It doesn't matter how it's dressed up. You can dress it up in an apostle that writes the Bible. Can you imagine when the Romans are reading that and they'd say, not Paul. Paul couldn't have trouble in the flesh. He's the man of God. Right? I tell you what, you see somebody raise the dead, you probably think they don't have the trouble you've got. Right? I mean, you drop little handkerchiefs and people get healed. I think you'd say, that guy's got something I don't have. You know what? He had the same problem that the Romans had and the Galatians had and the Corinthians had. He had a flesh he had to fight. The only difference was he was willing to fight it. Same problem. You know, that's what's wrong with us. We think that we have a problem that nobody else has. You've got the same problem I've got. We've got all the same problem. It's the flesh. So what does he do? He says, in me, I recognize that in my flesh is no good thing. And he says in the end of verse 18, for to will is present with me. I want to do right. You know how many people I think want to do right, but they just can't get through the battle? But how to, look at the last part of verse 18. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I just can't figure out how to do right. And I'm always failing. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. That's right out of our text. So you cannot do the things you would. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Guys, you know what? It'd be a good day when you'll come to the realization God knows exactly what you are. If you'll just be honest with Him and lay it bare and open before Him, He can help you. We're all in the same boat with that. He said, verse 20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. No, you'll never get away from the evil. You know why? Because you can't get away from your flesh. But you know what else? You can never get away from God. Amen. See, it's a contrary battle. The power of one is outweighed by the power of the other. The presence of the one has to deal with the presence of the other. And you can never get away from the Spirit of God if you're saved. He'll go with you in every circumstance, in every place. With every person, He's there. You can't get away from Him. You can't get away from the evil either. He said in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There's the right man. But I see another law in my members, there's the word, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then with an exclamation point, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can deliver me. He has the power. So the struggle of the Christian life, and this is the crux of the issue. The crux of our day-to-day day Christian life has to do with the battle between the flesh and the spirit, and which one you're going to let have the mastery of you. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul says this, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." In other words, you got to tell your body no. And that's, look, maybe we have done a disservice of not preaching. No, I know fasting is not a cure-all, end-all, but I'm just telling you, if you can say no to your flesh in one thing, you can say no to your flesh in another thing. And we've got to learn the power to tell our flesh no. Go sit in the corner and suck your thumb. I'm doing what the Holy Ghost. Talk to yourself. I mean, it talks to you. Click on that. You know you want to watch that. Go ahead and watch that. It talks to you. You know you want to listen to that song. You hadn't heard it in so long. You were walking through the store the other day and you heard that. You know you want to listen to that. It talks to you. You know you want to talk to her and talk to him, though I'm not supposed to be, but you know I want to do that. Go ahead. You got to learn to yourself no. Oh, I'm going to say something. I'm just not going to take it anymore. No, you're not. You're going to shut your mouth. Right? You got to be afraid. We can't do this. It's not going to work out. No, we're not going down that road, Mr. Flesh. The flesh is not just proud and angry and hateful. It's also afraid. There's so many things the flesh tells you that you've got to say no. And if you don't learn to start telling yourself no. And look, guys, this is the struggle. Some people they've done that for years, and then they get tired of doing that. They get tired of the battle. It's just, you remember when we were preaching through what the Bible said about biblical mental health, and we say, you know, some problems never go away. Some people have problems they'll have to live with the rest of their life. But that doesn't mean you can't fight it. That doesn't mean you have to give in to it. And no matter what problem the flesh or what wickedness the flesh or what direction the flesh wants to take you, the Spirit of God can overcome that if you'll fight, if you'll allow it. So here's the answer. Watch verse 16 of Galatians 5. Preacher, what is the answer to our wicked society? Preacher, I tell you what, we got people growing up in church, and these kids grow up in church, and they grew up right, and they come from right homes, and then they went out, and they never darkened the church door again. I just had the lady I was witnessing to that got so upset that we were door hanging the gospel, and she corresponded with me, and when I started corresponding back with her, and she calmed down a little bit, you know what she said? She said, yeah, we used to go to church. I mean, this was a letter with vitriol. Saying, how dare you try to scare people in going to hell to promote your religion. I mean, she sounded like an atheist in the things that she wrote. And when I started talking to her and conversing with her through email, she said, that's what she said. Yeah, we all went to church. But we just have made a decision that none of that's for us and it's not real. Yeah. That's where a lot of people are. You know what we don't? We don't want our children to grow up. We don't want our young people to grow up in this church and then go out from the church and live a life of the flesh and have nothing to do with God. We don't want them to live that life. So what's the answer? What is the answer to not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Verse 16. He said in Galatians 5:16, would you look at it? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know how radical a statement that is? This is what we would say. Now listen, parents. And we ought to have standards. You know our church does. We have to restrict the flesh. We understand that. And that's right. But here's the thing. If you think you will keep young people from not fulfilling the lusts of our flesh with standards and restrictions, you're wrong. That's not the answer. Because as soon as they get old enough and get away or get out of your sight or get away from the restriction, if the restriction
is the only thing that's keeping them from fulfilling the lust of the flesh, they will headlong into it one of these days. So how do we get them not to fulfill the lust of the flesh? I know. We need to go to church. I know. We need to get them involved. I know. Let me think of 25, come here now, 25 other things for them to do to make sure that they don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's all wrong. All those things are right. God tells us to go to church. He tells us to be involved. We ought to do all that. But the answer to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, there's only one answer. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that what the Bible says? So, how much have we taught them to walk in the Spirit? Do we even know what that means? If that is the entire answer for me not fulfilling in the lust of the flesh, don't you think that I ought to figure out what it means to walk in the Spirit? Because it's not all those other peripheral things. And God says, God is right and God never lies. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And guys, every time you sin against God, I don't care if it was yesterday or if it's today or tomorrow or next month or whatever you did last week, every single time we sin, it is because we have failed to walk in the Spirit. Because if we walk in the Spirit says, nope, we're not going there. Nope, we're not doing that. Nope, get away from that. We're walking over this way. Isn't it strange how God puts things? Walk in the Spirit. Now, you know the thing that saved Noah and the thing that saved Enoch back there in that terrible generation in the book of Genesis? Enoch did what? Walked with God. Noah, what did he do? He walked with God. Both Enoch and Noah walked with God. And in the huge travesty of all that world that perished in the flood, those two survived because they walked with God. They had a real relationship with God. And this is what I started thinking about. Do you know what? We've got something better than walking with God. To walk with somebody there beside you. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe one will walk a little fast and the other's got to catch up. But to walk with somebody is one thing. Listen now. The Bible didn't tell us to walk with God in Galatians. It said walk in the Spirit. It's not just like this is a side-by-side relationship. It's not that. It's that the Spirit of God is inside of you. It's one thing to walk side-by-side. It's another thing if you're inside. And so when the Holy Ghost takes that step, I mean, your foot's in his foot, you see, and your hand's in his hand. It's a closer relationship than Noah and Enoch even had. I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. And if I'll let him do the walking, I'll never fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Most Christians don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's just a doctrine. He's just something in the that they read about. And you know, the Spirit of God can conquer the flesh. The Holy Ghost inside of you can conquer the flesh. He's more powerful than the flesh. The flesh is powerful. But the Holy Ghost is even more powerful.
But he can do nothing for us if we're not willing to walk in the Spirit. And that has to be developed. That has to be done by faith. You can't walk in the, you can't see the Spirit of God. That's a life lived by faith. You also can't walk in the Spirit unless you're agreeing with him, because he won't go your way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, that new man is stronger than the old man. And if you'll just quit listening to that old man and start listening to that new man. And you know, just like we give in to that old man to eat that bag of potato chips. You know what you can also do? You can yield to the Spirit of God. Because you know what? If you're saved, he talks to you too. Sometimes he says, you know, you need to go to the altar. Sometimes he says, you know what? You need to witness to your neighbor. Sometimes he says, you know what you need to do? You need to repent. You need to confess some things. The Spirit of God talks to us as well. And we need to respond to that same Spirit. But we're so used to responding to the flesh that sometimes it's so easy to tell the Spirit of God no instead of walking in his Spirit. He said, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll give you a few hints here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. Look at it. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But he goes on to talk about separation in the next verse, but he begins verse 16. He says, what agreement at the temple of God with idols? In other words, if you don't agree with God, you can't walk in the Spirit. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You've got to agree to go his way. Walking in the Spirit, you know, it's even more than my wife here, but if she was trying to go that way and I was trying to go this way, we're not going to walk in the Spirit. Because we're going opposite directions. You know, look, you'll never walk in the Spirit if you're not willing to go God's direction. That's why he says in the next verse, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, back there in Galatians. You've got to be willing to let him lead you. You're not going to walk in the Spirit if you don't want to go his way. Well, what's his way? Sometimes I don't have any idea what his way is, but I want to go his way. I don't want to go my way. And my problem is when I want to go my way, I live after the flesh. He says also, not just in 2 Corinthians 6, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll use this as an illustration. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. He said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Look at the phrase. Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Walking in the Spirit means that you're walking in his steps, his desire, his will, his plan. And the opposite of that is what we found in Ephesians 2 when he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know what? People that aren't saved walk in the Spirit too. They just walk in the spirit of the devil. But you're fulfilling somebody's will, and it's not yours. You're either fulfilling the will of God and walking in the steps that God has for your life, or you're fulfilling the will of the devil, because his plan is the opposite of walking in the plan of God and the steps of God for your life. You say, well, how do I know? You're yielded. You say, Spirit of the living God, I'm yielding myself to you. I'll show you another. How do I walk in the Spirit? Look at 1 John 1. If that's the answer, I ought to know how to do that. I better learn how to do that. And it's not just kids. It's not just our young people. We have got to cultivate a relationship with a real God. And when you walk together, it's talking. When's the last time you're just conversing with God? It's not a religious prayer, but you're walking along. That's the only way to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." It's walking in God's truth, yes. It's walking in God's will and His commandments, yes. But it's also walking in fellowship. When's the last time you fellowship with God? You fellowship with the Spirit of God, and He fills your heart. You don't have to be in church. Ladies, you can sit there at that sink and wash those dishes or push that button. And you can sing and talk to God and fellowship with the Lord. Do you know, I bet some of those hymn writers, I don't think they sat down and said, what kind of pretty poem can I write? No, that guy said, man, I gotta put that in print. That's the way I'm living. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other have ever known. You don't walk in the Spirit, you don't fellowship with God, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's just a matter of time. And we can put on our Christian clothes and say our Christian words, but if we don't walk in the Spirit, the flesh, somewhere down the road, will dominate our lives. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, preacher, I still don't think I know how to do it. Well, why don't you get on your knees for God tonight and say, Holy Ghost, I know I'm saved. And I don't even know what that means, but I want to do it. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? It's not some rocket scientist, okay, let me give you the 10-point plan. No, the Spirit of God is a person. God is a real person. Why don't you say, Lord, I want to do this. I'm not sure all how to do it, but I'm willing to do it. So I'm going to yield you my members. That's what He tells us to do. In Romans chapter 6, I'm going to yield you my eyes. I'm going to yield you my ears. I'm going to yield you my hands. How many Christians do not wake up in the morning and say, here's my body. I'm yielding myself to you, Holy Ghost. Cause me to walk in the Spirit instead of just walking around everywhere in my flesh. You know why we don't do that? Because we think we can get by without doing that. Go back to our text, Galatians 5. God's answer for your flesh is walking in the Spirit. If you don't know how to do it, you need to get alone with God, and you need to talk to Him and ask Him and tell Him you're willing to do it. Because here's the verse for you, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Being led of the Spirit. We sung that tonight. Wherever He leads, I'll go. You know, you can sing that and it's just a song. Right? You can sing that and that's just the next number on Brother Jimmy's page. All right, let's get through it without me having to hear a preacher sing the wrong verse five times in a song. Let's get through it without me messing up. Or you can say from your heart, Lord, wherever you lead, lead me, Lord. Let me ask you a question. Who's leading you? Who's leading you? And where are you going? To walk in the Spirit means the Holy Ghost is leading your life. Come here, come on. This way. Because you don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. You don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. But if we'll just let the Spirit of God lead us, if we'll let the Spirit of God guide our lives, If ye be led of the Spirit, and it's a choice. That's why verse 25 is there. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a choice. Just because the Spirit lives in you doesn't mean you're walking in Him. Just because the Spirit lives in you doesn't mean you're letting Him lead your life. Are you letting Him lead you? Where are you going? I tell you what, He knows where you ought to go. He knows what direction your life ought to take. How many times have you tried to figure it out and it just failed? And all of a sudden you just gave up to God and said, Lord, whatever you want. And He led you right where you were supposed to be. Why don't we let Him lead? You say, well, okay, how does He do that? Well, I tell you what, in the Old Testament, I know you could say, man, I wish I had what the Old Testament had. You know how He led them in the wilderness. I mean, when it got dark, He put a pillar of fire and He said, this way. They said, yes, sir. In the daytime, he had the cloud to lead him, right? Okay, there he goes. Here we go. And they followed. But you know what? That wasn't a surefire thing either. Because you know what happened to the children of Israel? They said, you know, the fire's there and saying going that way. And the pillar of clouds there and says going that way. And we don't want to go that way anymore. We want to go back to Egypt. You know what the truth is? Even if God gave us a physical thing to follow, we would flunk out. And if we can't follow the Spirit of God in our heart, we're not going to follow no matter what He does. I tell you what, if you're saved and you're yielded to God, if you're right with God in any way at all, or if you try to get right with God, you know if you're going the wrong way. You may not know which way you're supposed to go. But you know if He's leading you. That old song we sing there, where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Lord, if you want to lead me in the garden, if you want to, whatever you want to lead me to, I'll follow you. And I'm telling you, that's where the crux of our heart is, you see. If you just have that overwhelming desire for God to lead your life and you yield it to the Holy Spirit, He will lead you in the truth. But when we're not willing to let God have His way, the flesh takes over. Because the flesh has always got a door for you to take. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm following the flesh or the Spirit? Well, let me ask you, that thing that you want to do or that thing that you want to accomplish or that decision you want to make, does that have something to do with you? Does that have something to do with what you like or what you want? You know, usually when the Spirit of God leads us, well, I'll just show it to you. Look at Luke 4:1. What does it mean for the Holy Ghost to lead you? I tell you what, if He leads you, He'll lead you some places you don't want to go. He'll lead you some places you don't want to go, but you need to go. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. This is about the Savior. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, who wants to go there? Being tempted. 40 days tempted of the devil. We preached about all that fasting this morning. He led him to a place of hardship. How do I know if it's my flesh leading me? I tell you what, most of us guys, we are so eat up. Our flesh wants it. I want this. I don't care if it's right or wrong. I'll even talk myself into saying it's right. But this is what I want, and I want it, and I'm going to get it, and I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. And I'm telling you, that's the attitude of the flesh. The attitude of the Spirit is, God, this is what I would like, but not my will. Thine be done, and I'm willing for you to lead me in another direction, in another way, in another place. Are you led of the Spirit? You know what God does sometimes to lead us by His Spirit? He leads us with people. Because, you know, they did have that cloud and that pillar of fire. But you know what else they had? They had a, watch it. They had a leader. Moses. Moses said, hey guys, this way. Right? And then they got tired and they said, why do you think you know where to go? So you know what God says? Well, if you don't want to follow my leader, I'll just let you go around in a circle for 40 years. There you go. You know what the Lord is? He's a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He what? He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh heavenly words with comfort fraught. Where'er I go or where'er I be, it's 'tis my God that leadeth me. And guys, I'm telling you what, there's something in our hearts that don't want to be led. We want to go our own way. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. We ought to go his way and say, you're the good shepherd. You'll take me by the still waters. And he says, if you'll be led of that spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that your heart tonight? Can you say like that servant of the Lord in Genesis 24, verse 27, I being in the way the Lord led me. That servant of Abraham, he didn't know where to go. But he was in God's way. He was in God's will. And God led him in the right way. God can get you where he wants you to go. But you have to have the heart and the initiative to say, Holy Ghost, I want to go your way. Lead me. Be in charge. Be the master of my life. And I'll walk in the Spirit so that I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Last verse and we're done. Would you go to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. This is the answer. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8 1, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you see verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. We know. Sometimes we're not a willing partner. Think about that. Walking after the Spirit or after the flesh. I don't know what you think when you think that, but what I think in my mind, when I say I'm walking after, that means the other one is in front of me. Is that what you think? In other words, if David is walking after me, he's behind me. Right? If he's walking that way, he's walking before me. Don't run the wall, son. Here's my question. Are you following the Spirit of God or are you following your flesh? Is he the one that's in front? Or is the Spirit of God, come here one more time, son. Or is the Spirit of God, as you're walking, trying to claw at you, trying to pull at you, let me get in the lead. You've taken us in enough terrible directions. Come on! Instead of just stopping and saying, okay, you lead. Just letting God lead. Just volunteering. Thank you, God, you get in the front. And I'll just follow you, and I'll walk after you, and I'll walk in you, and you fill me and control me. And I want to talk to you, and I just don't want to go through religion, but I want to have a real relationship with you, and I want to fellowship with you, and I want to love you, and I want to be close to you. And that is the relationship and the answer. Because if I'll do that every day of my life, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But guys, it's a battle. But it's a battle that he can win. But you and I are the ones that decide who wins the battle.